The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people, on the regular chat? We have the release of the JFK files that has happened just a few minutes ago before the show began. So that's what it looks like. There's lots of official documents in there that were already publicly available. A lot of things really relate to the process, to the trial of Jack Ruby and the preparation of the trial to Lee Harvey Oswald. There's some surveillance documents. I cannot tell you that I have done deep research because I've been there for... I've been seeing those files for about 15 minutes. However, one thing that I did find in these files, which I think is not new from today because I remember seeing these records before, but let us never forget when we talk of the assassination of JFK, let us never forget that the assassin Lee Harvey Oswald has been then killed by Jack Ruby. Jack Ruby says in no uncertain term, I killed Lee Harvey Oswald because he's a rat and because I'm a Jew. Here is the record in the files that have been released today. This is Jack Ruby speaking. Us Jews have guts and I plan to kill this assassin, this rat, 3 times. Why would he call him a rat like this? Was it the case back in the 60s that ratting meant to denunciate, to report to the police, to expose a conspiracy? I don't know. I think it may be possible here that Jack Ruby is giving us all of the keys we need to understand the murder of JFK. See, us Jews have guts. And I plan to kill this assassin, this rat, 3 times. When he's talking about us Jews have guts, I think there's a double meaning to it. I think he may have presented it as, oh, well, we have guts, so I'm going to kill... Yes, his true name is Jack Rubenstein, not Jack Ruby. Adding to it. I think us Jews have guts. First, what it evokes in me is the modern concept that we know of to these days, the concept of chutzpah, this gut that Jews have to be so self-serving to the point of not even caring about you knowing it, to the point of them pursuing their interest in very savage ways and to the point of shamelessness. I guess chutzpah, if I was to translate it in Christian English language, it would be some sort of shamelessness in the pursuit of self-interest. And I believe that when Jack Ruby here says, us Jews have guts, I believe he's talking about chutzpah. And what he's saying to the American people, in a way, is indeed we have guts. We have so much chutzpah that we can not only organize the killing of JFK, we can kill the guy who killed him after, so that you'll never know exactly what has happened. I think that's what he's referring to when he says guts. And here you have another report of that sentence, which is, and I guess I want the world to know. That was his closing sentence. And I guess I want to know that Jews do have guts. Do we really need the JFK files more than this to conclude that the brain behind the JFK assassination kept the record clean by having his patsy, his puppet, killed, by killing him himself, in fact, after the killing had happened? Do we really need more than this to claim that, yes, there is ultimately a tie between the killing of JFK and Jewish nationalism and Jewish Zionism? Because here, Jack Ruby is telling it very clearly. I'm a Jew, and that's why I killed Lee Harvey Oswald. And why did I do this? Because I wanted people to know that we have guts, that we have chutzpah. And we can see throughout this record that Jack Ruby is very knowledgeable with intelligence agents. At some point, he gets introduced to Mr. Soros, and he cuts the sentence. He says, I know him. He's with the FBI. So we had a guy here. We had a Jewish nationalist who strongly identifies as Jewish, who was clearly involved in the assassination of JFK, and who cleaned at the end. He did the cleaning by killing the assassin, killing Lee Harvey Oswald. And he says, I'm doing it because I'm a Jew. What mark could there be? I mean, what mark could there be in the JFK files to call this a done deal in terms of solving? Anyways, I think that within the next few days, I will be browsing these files, of course. I know that everyone on the internet will be too. But I remember this Jack Ruby is an important piece of the story, and people were sending me rumors about a woman who would have had been kicked out of a car by Jack Ruby a couple of days before JFK assassination. And who apparently said that, yes, there's going to be something bad happening to JFK, and Jack Ruby is involved in it. If we could have records of that kind, if that woman could appear on some of these papers, these depositions, that could be interesting. Silent Guy says they have so much guts, they pretend to be white, snipe women and children, and wear diapers to battle. Okay, that's a lot of details. I didn't expect to get... I didn't expect that it would get that deep that quick. Doubting Thomas says, Jeff, what do the pink highlights indicate? Prior redactions or something you wanted to highlight? Those are my personal highlight for people to... Because if you show a full page to people on the internet... 99% of the people won't get to the details. I always highlight in a complete page if there's one or two sentences that I want people to pay attention to, because that's just the nature of human attention these days on the internet. And that's fine, you know, it's we shouldn't be too critical of this. It's the way humans want to know what's the important here, because there's so much spam all around. Bring me to the important. Rush Chifley sent a super chat before the show began. He said it doesn't matter how many women Harry Sisson allegedly slept with. He's always a gay retard. Ah, those are wise words indeed. Yes, you know, Harry Sisson. This is so interesting what's been happening with this guy. So he's currently being ganged on by... something like maybe 5 to 15 women. I can't do the full count. But they have all been fooled by him. But it's a case where he hasn't done anything wrong. He hasn't forced himself on a woman. But he has been acting like an asshole to an extent, and he has been disrespectful of the fact that there were so many women interested in him, and he was just consuming their private porn sent to him and keeping them all in his bank until he chose one of them, of course. And this is why I love this whole story. We'll get to it, but it's people get what they deserve in this story. Harry Sisson, woman, all modern woman. You want to concentrate on this peak guy that you've elevated in your fictitious world of leftist celebrity? You get what you fucking deserve. You get the fact that while you were sending your little private porn pics through Snapchat, there were 15 other girls doing the same. And ultimately it was... Harry Sisson belonged to whoever would be the most aggressive one that would go suck his dick even if he didn't want it. So it boils down to this. If you want a nation of whores, of whoring, if you want the delusion that you can pick up out of nowhere Harry Sisson with all his political power as a TikTok star, of the Joe Biden world, you're gonna end up in a harem, and that's what. Now, I do believe that in the behavior of Harry Sisson, there are some things to be reproached. I wouldn't let a woman be deluded that she can entertain a relationship with me if I have other girls on the queue. I would be transparent about this, and I would always let a single woman know, okay, my attention is now with you. I have had cues in my life. I've had women who were on the back burner waiting, but I've been transparent about this. You don't want to let the impression be that you are available if you're not. And that is where the disrespect comes. Now, it's not a Me Too case in terms of sexual assault, but it's more like assholery and improper etiquette in Snapchat harems. New Guy Prime says, neat study. Who sends more porn to celebrities, men or women? Probably women, because... women are the subject of porn, you know. I don't think that seeing a guy naked is what's exciting to women. Women want the power. They want the power that comes with having Harry Sisson viewing your boobs, viewing your ass in a Snapchat. I looked at my wife yesterday and thought, why can't she just fucking stop sometimes? We were just sitting in the car, not even arguing, just existing. And I looked over at her and in my head I said, why can't she just fucking stop sometimes? Stop being difficult. Stop snapping at me and the kids over every little thing. Stop being so damn cold all the time. Stop acting like everything we do is a burden to her. Just stop. That is a great summary of how it feels to be a man sometimes. It's like, why not enjoy a little bit the world? Calm down, relax. The pressure is not even on your shoulder as a woman. Like, it's much harder to be a man. As a man, I have to care about whether this whole financial thing will collapse or sustain that our family is. You're there, you should be enjoying life as a woman, because you have no idea what's on the shoulder of men who want to keep a family financially healthy. And yet, some women have a difficulty with enjoying just life, just letting things go. Thomas Howard says, men are seduced by what they see. Women are seduced by what they hear. This is why men lie and women wear makeup. Ah, wise words, wise words. Alec Baldwin, ooch, this scene hurts.
Oh my God, you're distracting me right now.
Sorry.
Like, now you're just doing that. Why? Oh my God, you're distracting me right now.
Sorry.
Like now you're just doing that. Why? Why are you distracting me?
I'm just capping yeah, in by
you're
your
just, yeah, you're just distracting me.
So
no, but
beautiful.
Oh my God, stop. You're annoying me. Stop. It's not cute. No, he's distracting me. Oh my God, you're distracting me right now.
Sorry.
Like now you're just doing that. Why? Why are you distracting me?
I'm just capping yeah, in by
you're
your
just, yeah, you're just distracting me.
So
no, but
beautiful.
Oh my God, stop. You're annoying me. Stop. It's not cute. No, he's distracting me.
See, this is a very interesting psychology here going on because you are no one. This woman is fucking no one. There's no camera that are interested in what this woman has to say for any other reason than she is the wife of Alec Baldwin. And so she should be perhaps less narcissistic and more thankful that to begin with, you wouldn't have this moment with the camera where you're trying to concentrate on what you say if it wasn't of the man behind you, because you are nothing. That would be the first thing. Secondly, he is just complimenting you, and you end up finding there's a tension in this couple and in any couple of a old celebrity, I guess you could say, charming a younger woman, which is that she thinks she has some stuff ahead of her. She still cares about, oh, I'm going to develop an image here. I'm going to do an interview. Please let me concentrate. Where have you have the old celebrity has all of his success behind him. And so he doesn't care and he's enjoying the moment. Very interesting insight suddenly that we had in this couple due to this friction. SpaceX and Elon Musk have officially rescued the American NASA astronauts abandoned in space by Joe Biden for several months. They've just splashed down in the Gulf of America and will soon be reunited with their families. Okay, so the International Space Station astronauts that have been left stranding are now safe on Earth. Soylent Guy says DiCaprio is the only one that understands the game. DiCaprio is on a constant rotation, my man. He just never stops. Oh, beautiful news. Daily Wire is so much in trouble. Fascinating that Jordan Peterson no longer has the star power to hold up Daily Wire. He was incredibly popular in 2017, but decided to use his platform to demoralize young European males. Eight years later, he's lost his aura and core audience and is less relevant than Candace Owens. This is so beautiful. Jeremy Boring has resigned as CEO of the Daily Wire. Jeremy Boring apparently was a man who dreamed of cinema production, and that's why we saw Daily Wire move into super costly projects at some point. And they've had some degree of success with the Matt Walsh documentary. But then they wanted to go into very costly production. And apparently it was all under the drive of Jeremy Boring, who dreamed of being a Hollywood person, but ended up in the Daily Wire. The thing is, those are very different range of budgets. There's a range of budget to make a movie. A cinematographic movie, you need a massive budget. Now, if you do What is a Woman with Matt Walsh, now you can kind of be at the intersection between a high-quality Hollywood movie and a low-quality news setup, because it's mostly interview, so it's doable. But apparently, yeah, so he was dreaming too much of spending massive amounts of money to realize his dream, and ultimately, the Daily Wire didn't have money anymore. Apparently, a lot of the checks are bouncing now, and we don't know what will happen with the Daily Wire. They did take a lot of hits by constantly imposing ideological unity around Zionism and any drifting from there. And I'm so happy because I kind of have a place in this. I was part of a rising media force that addressed a need in the population, that a need that showed really only when media became free, when social media became so prominent that the powers that be couldn't control it anymore. And I've been betting kind of my career credibility on the idea that one day or another, the Jewish question will become inevitable for everyone. And I'm kind of very proud when I look at what's happening these days. When I see Eric Weinstein stumbling onto interviews after interviews, talking about Jewishness and having to talk about it. When I see the people who tried to go non-authentic, who tried to go, we're going to centrally control what people think, fail in business like the Daily Wire. I like to think that this is all Papa JF was right once again. This is what I hear when I see these events unfold. So maybe it's a little self-absorbed and self-centered, but I take a massive joy every time I hear news like this. And here we can see that, yeah, you know, if you can ruin the life of Papa JF all you want. You can write hit pieces about me. There's going to be some random brown woman who will show up and who will carry the same IDs like Candace Owens. And it's going to be one after the other. And until you engage honestly, until you engage with the truths that I've raised, you lose. This is what I'd like the Zionists to understand, is you can't contain the truth anymore. The truth is out there. You would have had it so much easier if you had continued doing your Zionist propaganda, but somewhat engage with the truth. Somewhat respect Papa JF and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to have a discussion, and maybe he's going to stumble, and maybe he's not going to do his point as good as he can, and maybe I'm going to look okay in the discussion. But this rejection, this social rejection of people because they have adopted a belief in what's obviously true about Jews or about race is unsustainable. And you're going to have corporations after corporation. They will dig their own graves. Daily Wire, one day it's going to be YouTube. Whoever goes to YouTube these days to get political talking points? No one. It's unviable. It used to be the perfect platform to have a diverse, broad conversation about politics. It has become impossible. And they are killing themselves one after the other because they're simply refusing to allow just a broadness of views to exist and some people to come out with the truths that they believe in. Thomas Howard says, we are standing at the precipice of the JQ universalism. Scales are falling from normie eyes. A brighter future may lie ahead. Yeah, I do think that we have set the game so that within the next generation becoming old, where it's inevitable that everyone will be aware that, A, there are Jews, they are out there, they are often presenting themselves publicly and with the intent of modifying your mind. And when they do so in their interest and not in your interest. That's pretty much the JQ. I mean, and of course the JQ is the realization of just how disparate and intense they've been at this project. But that's pretty much it. That's pretty much what it is. Oh my God. False boobs.
Hi there. Quick question for someone who's a little more educated than me. Where should I go? I'm trans, and I live in America. I think that's all I need to say for the question to make sense. And I would love for this to be a resource that people could share with other trans people in a similar position.
Oh my God. Away, say people. Yeah, anywhere you can. There's lots of places you can go. We have a terrorism is just rampant. Just woman terrorism against Tesla. And they're woman or they're trans. They have this kind of feminine appearance and look, but at the same time, you have some deep testosterone feeling that I get from these terrorists. Like this one. Is this really a woman? Looks like a man dressed as a woman. So do we have yet another trans terrorist? And poop, she has just scratched the side of the Tesla right here. You have to be fucking psycho, yes, to have such hatred for anything Elon that you... This is random property. Maybe the person... Most likely, in fact, the person who owned that Tesla was probably a leftist. And no, it's everyone who has a Tesla will pay the price. Esoteric Shaggyism. That is my new philosophy. Esoteric Shaggyism. I think that's a nickname that he gives himself to kind of mock the Bronze Age perverts of this world and all. But he's been exposing something I've been talking about yesterday. There was this guy who publishes race realist stuff, you know, Crémieux, who turned out to be a fan of trans porn and she-male big dick Reddits and Jewish. And he's also exposed Jeffrey Martin as being the guy who controls the captive dreamer. This captive dreamer guy has always been very weird to me. I've never understood what his appeal is, but again, they probably don't have that much appeal, these guys. They have a circle of butts probably and of self-reinforcement, where all of these Bronze Age pervert acolytes, they all retweet themselves and they grow accounts like this. And so here we have a guy who has been exposed and as Captive Dreamer has been exposed. And Captive Dreamer is kind of a guy who's trying to get white nationalist attention toward his account. But he's obviously not truly white nationalist. He's just like each of those other accounts. They're trying to cut the grass under the feet of white nationalism. However, now the father of Captive Dreamer is a president of some university, some Christian university, apparently, or a university that claims to be Christian. And now he has to drop his own son under the bus. And it's so weird, the levels of the layers of subversion here. Because, okay, so you are a president of a university that's kind of cucked, but that's kind of Christian also. But you're such a cuck that your son is trying to subvert white nationalists, but in doing so, he has to make some pro-white talking points. And now these pro-white talking points, you're too cucked to even stand by the subversive pro-white talking points, and now you have to drop your son under the bus because he's a racist. This is what I understand. It's a family of subversives. And the problem is, apparently in the subversive business, you know, there are subversive branches. This guy has decided that he would subvert Christian universities. His son decided that he would subvert social media. And it's incompatible.
Today I want to make something crystal clear. Regardless of its source, I have always and will continue to stand against racism in every form. I reject white supremacy and any idea.
He's saying this as his son got exposed to be Captive Dreamer, to be making loose, maybe pro-white talking points at times.
Ideology that elevates one group of people over another. I denounce the use of derogatory and disparaging labels and language and any attempts to dehumanize another individual or group. I strongly oppose the use of social media as a means of spreading such harmful ideas. And I do this not just because it's the right thing to do, but because it is what God expects of us and how His Spirit compels us to live. Ephesians 2 gives us a powerful reminder of who we are in Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks to a divided world, Jews and Gentiles, two groups that saw each other as enemies. But Paul declares something radical.
Paul was imprisoned by the Romans at the request of the Jews.
Jesus has destroyed the barrier that separates us.
Well, Paul believed that if there is a belief in Jesus, then the barrier is destroyed. But clearly there isn't. I love how this guy is subverting Christianity, right? Am I deluded here? Because I'm not, I don't feel like much of a Christian, so I can't speak for Christians here, but this guy appears to me like he is developing a cocked Christianity here, because he's lying. He's lying about the position of Paul. Paul, when he said that, he meant that if there is a kneeling to Jesus Christ, then the barrier between the Jews and the Gentile is open. But if there is no kneeling to Jesus Christ, then they are believing in the wrong beliefs. They are wrong.
Quote, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier."
For he himself is our peace. See? And so that wasn't Paul saying, don't be racist. Oh my God, this is what I can't understand. How do you end up being so much into subversion that you're doing your little subversion thing as president of some Christian university? I'm subverting in my way. And now you have a son, and this son is seeing another career in subversion. I want to subvert the white nationalist, Dad. Shut the fuck up, son. That's not how Paul would have wanted you to do. You need to be subversive like me. And you end up having a conflict between a father and a son here on how do we subvert Christian white people. What's the right way to do? Do we do it in the religious way, or do we do it in the social media white nationalist way? Holy shit. Doubting Thomas says, wait until JF learns that Paul was the original subverter of Christianity. Yes, I mean, I'm familiar with the idea. I don't know much. I don't know much about it, but yes, I've been talking about Paul recently because I've reviewed some parts of the Bible with him. So apparently Paul as kind of the builder of early churches must have attracted much conflict around him, I'm sure, about how he was doing things and about how perhaps alternative people thought differently. Thomas O'Ward says, Matthew 21 gives the definitive red letter analysis of what Jesus felt about the Jews and their ultimate outcome. Matthew 21, let's have a look. Let's have a look at what this is. The parable of the tenants. 33, listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruits. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned the third. Then he sent other servants to them more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruits. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Okay, so that would be a parable, meaning that the Jews have failed to collect the fruits from the vineyard, and that only those people who subscribe to the teaching of Jesus have succeeded at getting the right fruits. Mark Rober completely discredited. He tried to set up a spectacular video in which he would demonstrate that he could fool a Tesla to drive into a brick wall using just an image, a fake image. And he's been exposed because on his very video, there is evidence that he's manually dismantling the ability of the Tesla. It's not even the Tesla self-driving. It's the Tesla autopilot, which apparently is not the best. The self-driving is the complete suite. So he's not even running the complete suite of software, and he's manually deactivating it so that the car does bump into the wall. So apparently a whole trickery of his audience, because ultimately Tesla apparently is capable of detecting a brick wall, even if you even if you paint a road onto it. Yes, it was my impression that Teslas are equipped with not just cameras, but kind of IR, like distance evaluation cameras, irradiating cameras of some sort. Let us talk about Harry Sisson, because holy shit, is this funny. So Harry Sisson is this more than average guy. He's not a special man. Harry Sisson, let's pull some pictures of him. There's no reason to elevate this guy as being an icon of beauty of any sort. He is effeminate, youthful, not particularly wise, kind of beta, and an undeveloped appearance. This is not the kind of guy you would elevate as a sex symbol in much or any ways. But apparently, because of the status-seeking behavior in leftism, because he was being elevated as a very powerful personality, becoming a TikTok star of pro-Bidenism. How does that happen, I wonder? I think he's representing some kind of a racially pure white, because he's of Irish origin, who got astroturfed. Yes, D. Thomas, I agree that he got astroturfed. And he got astroturfed probably because the Democrat Party couldn't constantly feature these fat black women everywhere and win an election. That was way too much. I mean, every time you would see you would hear the Democrat Party, there was always these ugly woman, fat woman, black woman, then some Islamic woman, then some Muslims. You had a repertoire that was simply not pleasant to view for the average white voter, you know? So I think that a Harry Sisson came to be the kind of secretly white, the white token that could lift and uplift a new generation of rising white people who could eventually be interested in the Democrat Party. And interestingly, you know, what's interesting is these guys are specialists of faking respect for women. Of course, that is what I told leftist women a long time ago. I've been saying it again and again. You're gonna get the liars that you deserve. If you don't let men be who they are, who they truly are, if you keep making these tests for, oh, do you respect me? How do you... Do you have this? Do you have that in your cognition? Do you, can you show some belief in feminism? Or I'm not going to have a baby with you because you don't believe in abortion rights. The more tests you force, the more tests you impose like this, you are forcing the male side to lie to you. Because it is a demonstration. It is a facade that you're asking men to put. If you were truly open-minded, as the Democrats claim to be, if you were truly open-minded, you would accept that male cognition is something. And it's something that may go against your political desires of equality and your pursuit of a just world for everyone. Doubting Thomas says, first paragraph, he's sending a newly released JFK file. The day after the assassination, Gary Underhill left Washington in a hurry. Late in the evening, he showed up at the home of friends in New Jersey. He was very agitated. A small clique within the CIA was responsible for the assassination, he confided, and he was afraid for his life and probably would have to leave the country. Less than 6 months later, Underhill was found shot to death in his Washington apartment. The coroner ruled it a suicide. Wow, very interesting. We are learning more and more as the people of the internet are browsing through these releases. And here we have a 2025 release under the President John F. Kennedy Assassination Records Act of 1992. So what I understand from this is a fresh release of a document that was preserved, probably preserved but not made public in 1992. So involvement of the CIA and... another man killed in this thing where everyone gets killed when they know something. All right, well, we will learn more. And I think that in a couple of days, we'll be able to have a full look at the JFK files because the files are there, but that's 80,000 pages. It's going to take the internet a couple of days before it digged everything. So Harry Sisson... is the representation of everything that's wrong with modern women, because modern women want to throw themselves at a single guy. But it's like, your man is not of super high quality here, his jawline is not even particularly charming, this is not a Chad. Secondly, it's not an intellectual. A lot of these women were charmed by Harry Sisson's involvement in debates. And I was like, oh, woman, you think Harry Sisson is involved in debate circles on the internet? You don't know what you're talking about. You've elevated a celebrity that has not been tested by the crucible of the blood sports, of internet blood sports. You have no idea of the intellectual value of this guy because it has not been tested and it's most likely very low. But what do these guys do? They elevate themselves by making these circle jerk debates in which they can dominate either through by silencing the opposition or by selecting the opposition to be non-talented or to not truly represent right-wing viewpoints. And so they create an illusion in these young women who are spending their days on Snapchat that Harry Sisson is the great debater of the internet. If you want to get fucked by the great debater of the internet, you call Papa JF. I mean, unbelievable that they would call Harry Sisson. Anyways.
I've been trying to figure out how I want to word a video regarding this. But I think what I'm going to just say is I've never been the woman that has called out behavior like this. I've never been one of these people. And if you have been, fucking props to you. Because I don't think anybody could comprehend how genuinely terrifying it is to do something like this.
All right. So she is, we see her bra. That's these random hoes throwing themselves at high-level celebrity in the Democrat sphere. We're seeing her bra hanging out on the left. And so here she finally decides to do her video explaining what has happened with Harry Sisson.
I have slept all of 1 hour over the last 2 days because of this shit. So you're getting a speed run of my side. And then I'm never fucking talking about this again.
Oh yeah, so let's not forget we are in a Harry Sisson harem review. So we need to rate them by beauty. I would tell you that those are beautiful females. Harry Sisson, despite the fact of being a Democrat open to diversity, he's hanging out with 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10 white women. That is the first thing I noticed. I mean, this is a beautiful woman. Wouldn't say 10 out of 10 because kind of a awkward, geeky look, perhaps. But definitely above 8 out of 10. I would give her a 9.
This was insanely ridiculous. For me personally, this wasn't that deep in the aspects of relationship issues because I knew that this guy was a player. We started talking.
So she knew he was a player.
2 years ago, stopped talking few days after.
Just let me know when you buy that ticket. I'm on my way. Ha ha ha. Oh, of course. Absolutely no riz in that comment. Hee hee. Oh, God, man. Seeing Gen Z sexual approaches and courtship is fucking disgusting. To me, it's like, we're 3 sentences in. There's no mention of insemination. No double entendre. No, when is the baby going to get born? Holy shit, is that disgusting. And it's the woman. The woman has to push for the riz because he's not giving the riz. It's so sad what's happening with modern women because they are stuck in a better world. And they will be seeking, like, this woman is screaming. She's screaming, charm me, do something. And he's not responsive.
New Year's.
Now that should be also her sign. If he's not responding to you asking for riz, maybe he doesn't want to give it to you. And so you're fighting at this point for a player that you know is a player, and you know he's not interested in you enough to be responding to your riz requests.
Just a few days before the TikTok ban, somewhere in there. And it was on and off for those years, very casual. The part that pissed me off was that this almost cost me a friendship with a really great girl. As you guys know, he was on my live on a panel, like right after the election.
So he shows up on a panel. These TikTok people have their panels. I didn't even know this.
I let him up on the panel. He was there. Whatever.
She says whatever, but the fact is this guy was on her mind. When a woman is asking for riz in the third sentence because she feels she's not getting enough of it, this guy was waiting on her heart. She was basically a stalker of him, and she's trying to downplay it, but she was in love with him.
After that, I had said something about wanting more women to get into the debate space, and if you wanted to DM me. And so Reese, my good friend, did. She DM'd me. This was also to find out if him and I were talking because of the way that he acted towards me in the live and the way that I reciprocated that. She DM'd me and asked me if him and I were talking, and I said no because I didn't know her and didn't want people in my business. And I'd
so already here you have, there could have been a possibility that this woman mark him as busy. So she had a chance here to say, no, no, he's mine. But she didn't. The other woman comes to her and says, hey, are you with Harry? Because I'm interested in sending my porn pics to him. So are you with him? And she says no. So how do you expect to claim exclusivity today, now that you're all getting out and saying, oh, we got fooled by Harry, when you had a chance to claim exclusivity then and you didn't take it? Oh, well, it's because I wanted to keep our story secret. Well, secret, and this is the great lesson of marriage. Why are marriages the way they are? Why are marriages public celebrations at all? It's because secret is contrary to exclusivity. If it's a secret that you're with him, then you can't claim public exclusivity because then you've not informed the other females. That's why marriages are parties.
I spent 2 years keeping that violently under wraps from you guys. And then I found out that she was talking to him. And so I backed off. I didn't speak to him after that for a good long while, because I'm not going to sit here and compete for a fucking TikToker. And then her and I became friends.
She's not going to compete for a fucking TikToker. But you're a TikToker. It seems you should have more respect for the job of TikToker if there's so many of you that you guys fall in love on your panels.
She would come up on my panel. We talked on the phone before and after lives constantly.
So here, that's a woman who's heartbroken because she didn't go hard enough at Harry Sisson. If you want to reserve your alpha male, even if he's a alpha beta, because someone was asking me this on X, JF, is it possible that Harry Sisson is an alpha beta? Yes, he is a specialist of elevating himself as an alpha within the beta category. So within the category that says, oh yeah, much respect for women, much respect. Oh yeah, we love these women. No matter how they are, we love all women. So he's an alpha beta. He's the top of the chain in the beta section.
We got really close. And then one day I get a DM. The DM was from this guy. He said, basically, I need you to do me a favor. I said, what was the favor? He said, I need you to block Reese. And me.
So now you have Harry Sisson starting to detect the mutiny of his harem. He starts trying to contact single one of these women and tries to say, hey, could you be in a conflict with these other women from my harem? And could you block her and perhaps dismiss her publicly, dismiss her statements and come out and say they're liars? Harry Sisson is not like this. They're all lying. And guess what? This is the power of love. The power of love. She does it.
Me, boom. I wanted to get both sides of the story. And so, long story short, I communicated with her. I communicated with him. He told me that everything she told me was fake, a lie, and that she was crazy. And because I knew him for 2 years, and because I thought that he was a half-decent person, like maybe a player, but a half-decent person, I blocked her.
She acted publicly in the way Harry Sisson was requesting of her. She was blocking these other women to discredit them and say, no, they have no credibility. I'm the friend of Harry Sisson. I've known him for 2 years. He's not like this. These girls are just trying to get at him. And she knew as she was doing this that it was for the purpose of discrediting a bunch of women that today she sides with. So this girl is triple dipping. She's triple dipping. She wanted to be in on the harem. She wanted to get her choice, her shot at Harry Sisson. She then wanted to be friends with other women and be on their side. But then Harry Sisson asks her to betray them. And she does it. Second dipping. She does it. And now today, she's siding against Harry Sisson, saying, oh yeah, by the way, I was lying then. I was blocking these women to intimidate them for him, but he's an asshole. Triple moral dipping. This is the first time I see it.
And that's something I have to take responsibility for, is that I allowed a guy to use me to aid in ostracizing a girl from the internet completely.
That's not a very leftist thing to do.
He didn't like that she talked to her friends and a couple of texts got leaked. The rest of me and him talking was still casual, but I had been in a position at that point where I didn't want something casual anymore. I didn't want to mess around like that anymore. I wanted something serious. I told him so. I basically...
She's losing her t-shirt, says coronal mass ejection. I think that's intentional.
He told him, hey, I'm going to be in...
I think that this is designed so that your brain keeps being like, it's gonna fall. It's gonna fall. I'm gonna get to see boobs at some point. I just have to hold on. I think that just this right here is enough to keep you hooked for 2 hours of our TikTok. It's this constant feeling that you're gonna get to see boobs. It is absolutely normal. Absolutely a normal reaction for men.
DC at this time, if you're not there, I'm taking this as a sign not to talk to you anymore.
Like, look at this shirt. If I was to do a cartoon illustration of this, it's like putting a piano, a super heavy piano, at the top of a building, and I'm making it stand by on a single leg of the piano. And it's like, oh, it's gonna fall, it's gonna fall. This is the boob equivalent of this. You are tempting my brain with a potential force of gravity, you know? It's like, my brain is like, there is gravity. Therefore, this should fall. Therefore, I should see a boob.
He said he was gonna be there. And then a couple days later said he wasn't gonna be there. Took it as a sign. Stopped talking to him. He ended up being there, and I violently avoided him.
So bizarre behavior here, where she absolutely wants him to be in DC. He says, I'm gonna be there, but then says, I'm not gonna be there, but then ends up there, and she doesn't jump on him. She says, I violently avoided him. That was your chance to get an alpha male, an alpha beta. As people say on X. That was your chance. When you get a chance like this, woman, a guy like Harry Sisson, even if he wasn't pursuing women, he will have 10, 15 women at any time that are on him, that are onto him, that want a piece of him. And so when you get to a point where he wants to be there physically with you, you need to go and just empty his balls. Like, it has to be like non-stop to the point where he's begging you to stop. You completely empty his balls and you insist on accompanying him out of DC to be there with him wherever he is. You have to be fully reserving your spot by completely, systematically emptying his balls 3 times a day. That's how you reserve. That's how you become. Let me show you. That's how you become this girl. And see, this girl, she knows what she's doing. She just fooled all of the harem of Harry Sisson. And when she's saying fuck you, it's not a fuck you to the camera, nor is it a fuck you to Harry Sisson. This is a fuck you to the whole harem that she knows exists of women who were sending Snapchat private porn to Harry Sisson. And look at how she claims him. As soon as she gets physical access to him, she insists on making these thirst-trapped TikTok video styles where she is showing her red nails and showing to the other girls, this is my property.
I get it. She wanna come with me. I get it. She wanna come feel me. I get it. Diamonds that says she want it.
Now see, this is not innocent. She is putting a ring on it. She is claiming the ownership. This is what this other girl failed to do. And because she didn't do it in DC, another girl has done it before her.
While I was there, we did not see each other. We did not interact, but we're in town at the same time. I wasn't talking to him when he did this soft lunch. He wasn't talking to me. However, yes, it is true. He still has things saved in our chats as of right now.
Okay, so this is one thing I'm learning. This is not my generation at all. I'm an HTTP PHP guy. So apparently on Snapchat, when you are in a DM with someone, your DMs will disappear, but you can click on save and then it will tell the other person, oh, JF has saved your picture. JF has archived this part of the chat. And so, so these girls are alarmed that the porn that they've sent has been saved and archived by Harry Sisson. But he didn't unsave them now that he's with this new girl. Apparently, it is part of the etiquette of Snapchat that you have to unsave the old porn when you get with a new girl. They all take issue with this. They're like, I can't believe I'm still saved. I'm still saved in his Snapchat.
I'm going to be communicating that to get that gone when I get off of here. I don't think the Huzz would approve of that being there. So yeah, that's my side.
Okay, so you have not acted quickly enough. And this reassures me because it tells me that there is a punishment for women for not acting quick enough on monogamous reservation. It's as simple as this. I want to fix the world with monogamy. And I'm happy that when women converge toward the same man that way, they get punished. Because if they don't move quick enough, if they're not like, I'm putting a ring on it, then they get punished. They don't get the guy at all. Let's listen to another testimony.
And also, any person who has been a victim of this certain political TikToker, I am always available to talk if you need
a certain particular individual
support or just somebody to talk to. I'm here. I'm gonna try to get through this without crying. I'm mostly crying because I'm really proud of all of these girls for coming forward, because I know
what I like about these girls suffering is that I'm sure they have dismissed high quality males before. I'm sure they have been faced with males who were perhaps even better looking than Harry Sisson. But no, they were too greedy. They wanted that extra feel. I want the Harry Sisson. See, and these girls will just walk over the heart of an 8 out of 10 guy, of a 9 out of 10 guy with good muscles. But, he's giving me the ick. He's not exactly how I... And they will walk over his heart with no care at all. And these guys are being forgotten on the dating scene. And they're being forgotten because 14 women want Harry Sisson. And they're not willing to do anything for the guy of equal quality or even better quality. But they're willing to send private porn to Harry Sisson for nothing. And so you get what you fucking deserve. Nothing.
How manipulative and conniving and overall dangerous this political TikToker is. And for so long.
Well, can't you share a part of the responsibility here to say that he's dangerous? This guy has been, at worst, the passive recipient of your dangerousness, of your willingness to stick to him, to send him these pictures. And he was like, holy shit, well, I got these beautiful women sending me pictures. I'm not going to say no to this.
Because I've been talking about him and his disgusting behavior for over a year now. Nobody believed me. I had a few people that obviously did. It was just like, it was never taken serious. And like, above all, I'm pissed because he is the same.
Above all, you guys are all pissed. You girls are all pissed because you didn't get selected. Because you gave it your all and your all wasn't enough. Unfortunately, in the lottery of Harry Sisson, there has to be a winner and it's not you.
Fucking guy.
Because this all comes a few days after, or weeks, I don't know exactly when that happened, but it all comes as a result of Harry Sisson showing the lady fingers, the lady nails on his TikTok. What they all interpret as a signal that you're not the one. So that's how the exes of Harry Sisson came to be organized as a militant group.
That's going to end up in the fucking political hierarchy that has all of these allegations, but has too much power within to ever be actually taken down. That's exactly where he's headed, and he's been heading there for so long. As somebody who's known him since I was 18, and we were incredibly close, we met in person a few times.
Incredibly close. Met in person a few times. Incredibly close. Incredibly close would mean there's been sex. But you met a few times. There's been sex. But there's been... I'm not sure I believe this. Probably the incredibly close here was exaggerated.
I really don't care if he makes an apology. I don't care if he takes accountability. I don't care about all that because it's going to be fake, and I can promise you that. And it's
So Harry Sisson is a liar. He is someone that you feel as a non-genuine, inauthentic person. But that's what leftists have been farming for. Leftist women, by rejecting the true male cognition from their cities, they have what they fucking deserve, which is a bunch of deceivers. A bunch of people who can put on the suit that you want them to put on, which is the suit of the beta male, and to act beta in the way you've requested.
And it's going to be gaslighting everybody. He's an incredibly sick individual. fairly perverted.
Fairly perverted. Oh, bro, that is my autobiography title. That is the title of my biography when I write it. Fairly Perverted, A Life on the Road.
And he's been getting away with this for so fucking long. It got to a point where it was just too exhausting to even try to, you know, put stuff out. I am really happy that it's gaining traction now. And
John Gald sends $20. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, aka Baby Fuen, the one pestering you on Twitter to buy Minecraft blocks from Alibaba Baba. Okay. So you are this guy? I don't know. Anyways, if you'd like to support the show, use the Streamlabs link in the description below. Streamlabs is my favorite platform to receive support for the show. And you are also going to get a screen highlighted tip if you send your super chats through Streamlabs. Frog Eyes says, my JF biopic will be subtitled, "He can't keep getting away with this." Fairly Perverted. I love what does fairly perverted mean? It means that even her, as a kind of probably on the spectrum of crazy false allegation type of woman, of crazy eyes woman, of leftism, even her, she has a break in her mind that says, not completely perverted. Fairly perverted.
I think she worded it perfectly. The woman that I stitched, it's like these champions for women, right? And the idolizing of these men that care about women.
Well, there you go. You've bought the signal. You've bought the signal. Instead of going after the true male cognition, you have satisfied yourself with an appearance of the male you wanted. But this appearance is super easy to fake. Everyone can be easily look like a woman respecter. I mean, that was an internet meme a couple of years ago. I'm a woman respecter. It's so easy. But see, you have to see through the bullshit. If you fall in love with an easily imitable signal, you will end up with a psychopath who imitates signals better than the others.
It's just a ploy to try to get into their pants.
Yes. Yes. Welcome to the reality. See, I love... You can't make these crazy eyes, man. It's like, therefore what? Therefore, stop looking for a man who will lie to you about this. Yes, it's a way to get into your pants. And so let us put the game aside. Let us be real with one another. Yes, women have quality based on their looks. And 99% of the evaluation that a man will give to you is how you look. Which is why Harry Sisson, which is a man of high quality in the eyes of women, is with these 8 and 9 out of 10s. It's because Harry Sisson can afford it. And no, he didn't love you for who you were. It was all about your quality on a scale. And because there was one woman above you in this scale, you lose. It's never been about your true personality, and it never will be. Because the fact is, most women's personality really suck. Jana Ban sends $100 on Rumble. Thank you so much for this donation. He says, I have personal experience that the one thing women can't handle is to get their ego hurt. Hell had no fury like a woman scorned. We'll look at using Streamlabs next time. Yeah, it's good to, you know, I get the support that you send through Rumble, but the rates are very high to a point of waste. So I think that your money is best invested on Streamlabs, but thank you so much for the donation. And yes, this is all ego's hurt. All ego's hurt because they tried to grab above. This is where we see female hypergamy finally punished. This is why I'm so happy today. It's because this whole event shows you that in the end, these women who are pursuing hypergamy, they are playing a very difficult game. And they have to give it their all to get this top guy. And they can't even know if he's going to care at the end. And they have to follow his TikTok to determine, is he going to stay with me or is there a new girl today? In the end, at some point, I want women to kneel in front of men and redemand monogamy. I want them to beg for it. And we're headed there if they can continue crying that way.
You know, it's not like I could go through everything that he has done. I could probably make a freaking novel on it. And if you want...
Do it, girl. We want that novel. We're going to... It's going to give you some funds. You're going to be able to redo your makeup after crying so much. Do that novel. Setting a novel is a way to make money.
I got played by a TikTok influencer for 9 months, and I think it's time that I expose his trashy-ass behavior. We started talking in May of last year, right before my birthday, and he, like, wooed me. He was very kind. I felt really excited and thankful that I found somebody who, at the time, I thought respected me for more than my physical appearance.
Stop pursuing this. And believe me, at some point, you're going to be in love with a man who will love you mostly for your physical appearance. And he's also going to love some aspects of your personality. And like slowly, he's going to learn about you and he's going to fall in love with other aspects of your personality. Don't worry about this. But yeah, if you are sending porn on a Snapchat and trying to get the eyes of Arises on your way, that's mostly for your physical appearance.
And yeah, I literally could have never imagined or even like fathomed what was going to end up happening after talking for 9 months. I'm really embarrassed to admit this, but I created a private story on Snapchat for just him and named it For Your Eyes Only, and he loved it.
Private porn.
He loved the attention that I was giving him and the fact that he knew that I wasn't entertaining anybody else the way I was entertaining him.
She wasn't entertaining everybody else the way she was entertaining him.
Within the first 2 to 3 months, he had told me on 2 separate occasions that I was wife material and that he was, quote unquote, sold on my wifey application.
Sold on her wifey application. Well, what the hell does that mean?
He was frequently saving my snaps and just like making me feel good about myself, call me beautiful and gorgeous. So
again, the saving of a snap is a social event now. That's something I didn't know about as a man of another generation. He was saving my snaps. It's like she's saying he was washing my feet. He was kissing me in the neck. He was saving my snaps. Dar Machine sends a super chat. Thank you so much.
Amazing realizations by these retarded girls. Hilarious stuff.
Yeah, I've not laughed like this for a couple of weeks, at least.
So it's like, how could I not read into that? 6 months into talking, he suddenly is like, I'm not looking for any commitment and I'm not in a place to find anything long-term right now. I'm just really busy, blah, blah, blah. And like, I was understanding, I was fine keeping things casual. However, I couldn't help but feel that he led me on. And he even admitted to that. He's like, yeah, that's on me for like not making my intentions clear. Okay. He tells me a couple more times after that he doesn't want commitment. And then next thing I know, he's posting a soft launch thirst trap of him and his new girlfriend.
Girlfriend. Oh my God, she gets close to the camera when she says it. You can see it's annoying to her.
2 weeks ago. Actually, prior to this, I had found out that he fucked around with somebody else by him going live on TikTok and showing hickeys on his neck. That's how I literally found out that he was fucking around.
So by stalking enough of his TikTok, she found out that he had a mark on his neck showing hickeys or whatever it's called, traces of kissing.
And so I confronted him about it, right? Like any normal person would do. And he got all defensive and started like gaslighting me, basically saying that I was like overreacting and all this stuff. And I was like, you're kidding me, right? Keep in mind, he was well aware of the fact that I was very depressed following a very traumatic car accident that I had been in. And
that's one thing also that I noted across these videos. All of these women who are all into the sphere of adoring a woman respecter, beta, Democrat, Joe Biden fan, they all have a victim status. So she believes that it's particularly dirty for him to have been an asshole to her while getting licked by this other woman while she was publishing her private porn to him. She believes it's particularly rough because she was the victim of a car accident. And the other woman believes it's particularly assholey because she was the victim of a sexual assault. And he got with the other girl during the anniversary of her sexual assault. Like she was celebrating the whatever 1 year, 2 year, or 3 years of her rape, and he gets with the other girl. They all have a reason of victimization that puts them as a victim category, but they're all privileged white women to an extent, because when you are at that level of beauty, a 7 out of 10 here perhaps, and the other maybe a 8 or 9 out of 10, you have it easy in life.
He still took advantage of my sadness. Anywho, I forgot to mention, but we were mutuals on TikTok, mutuals on Instagram. I was his only friend on Facebook, and I have receipts of this, of course, but...
His only friend on Facebook. Facebook exclusivity.
He's trying to remove me from everything. He demanded that I unsave everything on Snapchat, because he had a new girlfriend, and it was, out of respect for her. Bro, you don't know the first thing about respecting women.
Well, he's asking you to unsave now. So, will you unsave and eliminate the record, or are you going to keep it up?
Jump to last night, I find out that he was leading somebody else on at the same time he was leading me on. And my...
So then she tells the story of grouping up with these other women. They all discovered themselves, discovering, hey... We've all been sending private porn to this guy, and he didn't tell us.
He did inform me that there was no roster, essentially.
That's one thing that I believe that the girls have been coordinated about. They all say, he told us no roster. So no roster apparently means that Harry Sisson told them that he didn't have a queue of women waiting for him. But ultimately, there was.
I was the only person he was talking to, the only person he was receiving photos from. And I was, again, fine with that. But of course, if you're going to tell me that there's no roster and I'm the only person you're talking to, he...
So another woman who got told there was no roster and she had exclusivity... I think we've gone around most of what we had to review. There's this girl.
If he had flat told us, hey, I am talking to other people. When we asked, when all a fucking dozen of us asked, hey, are you talking to anybody? Instead, he lied and said he did not have a roster and that he was not talking to anybody.
I don't know to which extent it's true, this roster thing. Is it something that he was really saying to these girls, or is it something that they've synchronized to have a consistent allegation against him? I don't know. I would like to see physical evidence that he said this, but I'm willing to believe that he gave them some impression of exclusivity.
Your wish is my command. I had been following this political influencer for a couple months prior to me DMing him, basically just offering my support and telling him that I was proud of what he was doing and that I was learning a lot from him. A little bit after that, I shared with him that I was a survivor of SA, and if he ever needed a victim's perspective during one of his TikTok live debates, I would be willing to share my story. He was really nice about it, was supportive.
SA is sexual assault, by the way. So victim status.
Thanked me for sharing with him, and also for my willingness to speak on it if he ever needed somebody to. After talking just a couple more times in Instagram DMs, I was like, hey, you should add me on Snapchat if you want to. And he did. So that was in May, right before my birthday. Pretty quickly into us Snapchatting, he started saving snaps where I just looked pretty, I guess. And if you know, you know. Like, that's a common...
So she gets thrown on the path of private porn because if you know, you know. Those were pictures where I just happened to look pretty, I guess. I guess he saved them. He saved them, and so I looked pretty, and so I started sending more and more pictures where I was intentionally looking pretty.
Compliment. It wasn't anything inappropriate. It was just very flattering because I looked good, and he was kind of telling me that by wanting to keep those pictures of me in our chat. Shortly then after that, it became more of like an inappropriate infatuation with me.
More inappropriate. Thomas Howard says, a sexual assault victim quickly turn to putting out the nudes. Yes, they do.
And he kind of hinted at that by saying something along the lines of, I had some like interesting or sexy pictures of me on my Instagram. And I was like, oh, okay. Granted, this was highly unexpected.
This generation is roasted, bro. Unbelievable. So now it becomes inappropriate because now he's not complimenting her on her private, beautiful pictures. He now went to her public Instagram and, oh, he finds some of them particularly sexy. It's like, you have these collections of pictures in the public eye, lady. This can't be inappropriate. If it's inappropriate, you are inappropriate. You put them there. He's just liking them.
Because I was like, you don't act this way at all on TikTok.
And now you have the surprise. This is what one thing that the leftist woman love. They have a kind of surprise that, oh, so my man is kind of a gorilla in private. So you have this whole public image where you say, respect woman. But when you're with me, you're able to be a little rougher, a little more entitled, a little more objectifying. And women love this, especially leftist women who are in denial about the reality of the male mind.
Honestly, I didn't expect to like start talking because of my original DM, but obviously I was excited too because I had a lot of respect for him. I thought he was like this champion for women, supported our rights, berated people.
Frog Eyes says, Jarvis, save nudes to mainframe subfolder roaster. Rank by trauma level and emotional vulnerability. Auto-organized by geographic... proximity. Oh my god, we're having the best fun we've had in years with these girls.
Who disrespected women and just all that stuff that, you know, makes a woman feel safe, right? Not long after we started snapping, I made some joke about probably having a bunch of competition, and he then told me that...
Those are not some jokes. This is you digging. You needed to... This is you doing a shit test.
That I had no competition and said that he was content.
So you have no competition, I am content. Kind of weird. Kind of a weird way to promise monogamy, I guess.
Implying that he was content with just me. At another point, he told me that my opinion was the only one that mattered. So of course I like ate that stuff right up. Like I was so excited and just like completely shocked and obviously like way too trusting. So time's passing, he's still saving a bunch of my snaps. I start saving snaps that he's sending as replies because one, they made me feel good, and two, now I'm glad I have them as receipts because he's calling me insane online. When September came around, I told him that the anniversary of my essay was coming up. And
the anniversary of our sexual assault. If you have a woman in your Snapchat and she's like, hey, by the way, the anniversary of my essay is coming. Run.
And so he was well aware of this. And then on the night of September 15th, before he went live to debate on TikTok, he messaged me just wanting to check in, seeing how I was doing. And
So I know that this has been 4 years since your sexual assault. I'm about to go live. I just wanted to make sure you're okay. How are you doing? How are you holding up, lady? Wow. This guy was selling leftism in private to these poor women who were hanging on to his every words, and she feels charmed by it because she's like, oh, he cares about me.
And to me, that spoke volumes. I was like, that's really sweet of you. Thank you for checking in.
Wow, really sweet of him to be highlighting the 4-year anniversary of your sexual assault.
And then after he was done debating, he tried to FaceTime me, but unfortunately, I had already fallen asleep. Anyway, he attempted to call me. I didn't answer. He messaged me and told me to answer. And since I was sleeping, I didn't see it till the next morning. But when I saw that I had a missed call, again, I was like, how sweet is this that he really took the time out to want to check in with me on the night he knew was going to be very difficult for me to sleep? I think that kind of says a lot about how he felt about me.
No, it just says about the mask that this guy is wearing when he interacts with women. So I will conclude the review of the harem of Harry Sisson. I will say impressively white harem for a Democrat who believes in non-discrimination. Not a single black woman, not a single Asian, just all white women in the range of 7 to 9 out of 10. All kind of in the same style as Harry Sisson. You would conclude that perhaps the Biden male fan is the real racialist. Perhaps he is the ultimate form of implicit whiteness. Very impressive that a guy who goes around defending a leftist view of the world is so selective in his private porn collection that he only receives pictures from beautiful, he's not being fat inclusive, I will say, in his selection of women that he leads on. In the end, what we have is, did Harry Sisson commit anything wrong here? I would say wrong by ethical and moral standard. I think it is wrong to lead on any contact with women, making them believe that they are unique or that they occupy the first place in your selection. So I believe it is the behavior of an asshole, liar, beta. But I don't believe it's not like these sexual assault. It's not that he's forced these women to do anything. It's just that he misled them. He misled them and probably misled them because he had so much choice that he didn't know what to do with, and ultimately he got funneled down by one of these women who knows what she's doing. To get the guy of this quality, you need to go grab it. You need to take his balls literally and empty them constantly until all the other women are eventually pissed at him and at you. That's what she's done, and she's done it with her nails on TikTok. Ultimately, we have a guy who's a sleazeball, really, which is all you have on the leftist side. These leftist males, they are by nature sleazeballs because they are psychopathic enough to be able to emulate the woman respecter that the feminists want to hear. Because that's what a leftist is. A leftist male is someone who can exude woman respecter behavior. Of course, a right-wing male, a true male, the true cognition of the male is to not bullshit women about this and to not give them what they ask on the first layer, but to convince them that that's actually not what they should want and that what they think they want is actually socially conditioned female communism, basically. So Harry is paying the price, and these women are all paying the price of ultimately the leftist philosophy of dating, which is we create these artificial elevated personalities Because Aristotle is not an intellectual. He's not proven himself in a domain of selection and meritocracy like I did, or like anyone did back in the blood sports days. This guy has been elevated in a fake way. So you elevate fake celebrities. These fake celebrities don't have the goods. So you're fighting, all of you are fighting for very low quality mail in the end. Because a male who has shown no other talent than deception and manipulation, which is the kind of psychopath that makes it into the kind of modern leftist politics. So you get what you fucking deserve, ladies. I'm very happy that all of you are suffering because you deserve it. Think about the number of quality males that you've rejected in your story. Think about all of the males that you wouldn't even dare consider. You wouldn't even consider being with them. Many of them were probably higher quality than Harry Sisson. Many of them were probably much more honorable and caring and non-deceptive than Harry Sisson. But your little female brain cannot want these guys. Because you want the psychopath. You want the guy who made it to the top. And for that reason, you have to fight with 14 other just like you, who can send private porn picture just like you, who can ask him on Snapchat if he's to them and only them just like you. You have nothing special about you. So next time you see a man of quality that's not exactly like you would want, why don't you respect him and give him the benefit of the doubt? Parents of Sudika Konenki, American who disappeared while on spring break in the Dominican Republic, announced they believe she died in a tragic accident. It is with deep sadness and heavy heart that we are coming to terms of the fact that our daughter has drowned. Yeah, well, this is again, they keep people on the internet keep accusing me of having done anything to Mama JF. It's like, no, woman, go out there and they fucking drown. And that's because they're stupid and it's not our fault. And I can't supervise a woman who runs out there. So it's like, let's stop putting it on the responsibility of the family. Women are making terrible decisions. She went on a boat or swimming while there were violent waves coming her way. It's like, yeah, you were due to die. And the world is just not ready for this level of female liberty. You have to accept that if you give that much female liberty, they're going to kill themselves. Thomas Howard sends $25. He says, keep up the good work, JF. I've enjoyed the show for many years. Just so busy these days. A small token of appreciation from time to time when I get the chance. Well, thanks to you, Thomas Howard. It's good to see you. Last news item, a new trend before we close the show. Fat filter. So people making themselves fat with a new TikTok filter or whatever, Instagram filter.
So there is a new trend on TikTok, and it is where people are sharing photos of themselves with a chubby filter. This is where we're at in 2025. I am so sick of having this conversation again and again. Why is it, do you people fear fatness so damn much? Okay, why is my body, my weight, my size up for conversation all the time? Why is it your greatest nightmare to look like me?
Because
why is fatness deemed to be the worst thing anyone could ever possibly be?
Because it is.
I'm getting so sick of this and the blatant anti-fatness in today's society. It's so hurtful.
It's hurtful, but it must continue.